This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. Our scripture reading today is one of the most well-known in all of the Bible. It is called the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the idea of the Good Samaritan has been a symbol for generations of what it means to help people in need. When I was in seminary, I worked as a chaplain at a hospital that was called Good Samaritan Hospital. And the message of the Good Samaritan is one that is important and clear. It's that we are called to help people. But the message is bigger than just go out and help people. The message is about who we should help and why. In our scripture reading today, it begins with a lawyer coming to test Jesus. And in Jesus' day, lawyers were not so much legal minds as they were biblical minds. You see, the law and the Bible were intertwined. They were the same thing. And a lawyer was someone who knew the scriptures backwards and forwards, who knew everything by heart. And so when he comes to ask Jesus about the scriptures, he does not do so because he's genuinely curious of what the answer is. He does so because he wants to try to trip Jesus up. He wants to embarrass Jesus and find false thinking in his understanding of the scriptures. So the first thing he does is ask Jesus a question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers his question with a question and says, what do the scripture says? The man, proud of his knowledge of the Bible, says that the scripture says you must love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, do this and you will live, essentially saying, you already know the answer. Why are you asking me the question? But then the man tries to trip Jesus up. He asks Jesus the question, and who is my neighbor? You see, this is where the man's thinking and teaching and Jesus's thinking and teaching diverge. In ancient Jewish laws and customs, there was a value of helping people, but the value only extended to helping people who were part of your tribe, helping people who were part of your established group or religion, helping people who were essentially like you and believed the same things as you. That, yeah, you were supposed to help those people, but other people were all on their own. And the truth of the matter is, this idea of having a narrow view and a narrow focus of who we are supposed to help and who we are responsible to is something that still permeates our minds and our culture even today, even from a young age. From time to time, my wife and I will walk in to one of the rooms of our house and see that it is filled with toys. Filled with toys that have not been put away, and there are no kids to be found who are still playing with them. And so my wife and I will ask one of our kids to come in the room, and we will say, please clean this up. And more often than not, we get the same answer. That's not mine. That's not my mess. I didn't take those toys out. I didn't play with those toys. My brother did. Now, sometimes we find the person responsible for the mess and make them clean it up, but other times we use this as a teaching opportunity, to use it as a teaching opportunity of what it means to be a family. That being part of a family does not mean that we simply just take care of ourselves and our own needs and our own problems and our own messes. Being part of a family means that we help one another. And I use a few interesting examples to drive this point home. I tell them, my wife and I, their parents, we don't just fold our laundry, we fold your laundry too. When we go to take out the trash, we don't sift through the trash and say, oh, this is my garbage, I'll throw this away. This is your garbage, I'm going to set it over here on the counter, you throw that away. We take out everyone's garbage. You see, in order to be a part of a functioning family, we can't just look at our own needs and our own responsibilities. We have to see everyone's needs around us and be willing to help whenever and wherever we can. See, what Jesus is getting at in our scripture reading today, the issue he has with the man, the lawyer in his scripture reading today, the thing that he is revealing to those around him, some of them for the first time, is that our neighbor or our spiritual family is not just some people that need help, it's anyone that needs help. See, Jesus goes on to teach the parable of the Good Samaritan this way. He says that there was a man going down a road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And Jerusalem, in Jesus' day, was the holiest place in all of the world. It was where religious people traveled from all over to worship God. People believed that God actually lived in Jerusalem. And Jericho, well, Jericho was kind of a rough place in the Old Testament. It's a place where a lot of wars and bad things happen. And so Jesus tells this story to symbolize that this man is going from a good place to a bad place. And that's what happens. While this man is on the road, some robbers grab him, beat him, and throw him in a ditch and leave him for dead. And there the man lies. And while the man is lying in a ditch, two people pass by him. Two people that in normal religious culture of the day would have been the heroes of the story, should have been the heroes of the story and helped this man. They were a priest and a Levite. And for reasons unknown to us, this priest and Levite ignore the man, don't help the man, and keep going on their way. But then a third man comes, a Samaritan, who stops and helps the man, who bandages his wounds, who takes him to an inn, which was the closest thing they had to a hospital those days, and tells the innkeeper he can stay here as long as he likes, and the bill is on me. Now, this idea of a Samaritan helping someone, a Samaritan of being the hero of the story, it's not a big deal for you and I, but it would have been a big deal, very controversial, in Jesus' day. Because you see, in Jesus' day, Jews and Samaritans were arch enemies of one another. They hated each other. They despised each other. They didn't want to have anything to do with each other. That in a normal telling of this story, the Samaritan would not be the hero, but he would be the enemy. He would be the robber, and yet Jesus makes him the hero. Why? Because Jesus wants us to remember that anyone can love anyone else, that anyone should be willing to help anyone else, regardless of race, ethnicity, or creed. You see, sometimes we read our history books and we study about history and we look at some of the atrocities that have been committed throughout history on groups of people. We look at things like slavery or the Holocaust, and we ask ourselves, how could people do this to one another? And the answer is both simple and sad. The reason that people mistreat, abuse, and hurt one another, the reason that they do this is because they dehumanize other people. That they make other people less than human, and then, and only then, can they feel okay about mistreating them. I remember a number of years ago, a movie came out. It was called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, and it was about a boy whose dad was in charge of a concentration camp. And he didn't know this at the beginning of the movie, but later in the movie, he finds out, and he asks his dad how he could be in charge of such a terrible thing, how he could hurt people in this way. And his dad says, well, you know, those people aren't really people. You see, dehumanizing someone makes them seem less than us, makes them seem less than another group. And what Jesus wants for us to do is to not dehumanize, but humanize everyone, to see everyone as a child of God, to get past the labels and the division that our world puts on us, and to see our neighbor as equal to us. And there's a few ways that I think that we can do this. There's a few ways that we can start to put this action into practice in a practical way. And the first is this, that loving people does not always mean liking people. Loving people does not always mean liking people. And this is kind of a controversial statement in our culture today, because in our culture today, right, love is all about feelings, right? Love is a feeling, right? That's all it is, right? A romantic feeling, a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is a Hallmark card, you know, whatever, right? But what Jesus does in our scripture reading is he focuses not in love being a feeling, love being an action. Notice in our scripture reading, Jesus doesn't really talk about the Samaritan man's feelings towards the injured man. He talks about what the man does. He talks about his actions. Jesus is saying that love is an action before it is a feeling. I remember when I was a waiter in a restaurant, and they didn't call us waiters. They used a little bit of a fancier term. They called us servers, right? That we were their servers, right? And sometimes I would go up to a table and I would help them. I would serve them. And the interactions would be wonderful. It'd be so pleasant. They'd be respectful. I'd be respectful. They'd be very happy with everything. And then the best part is they tipped very well, right? But other times, not so much, right? Other times they were rude, or they were cranky, or they were impossible to please, right? Or I made mistakes that made the situation worse. It didn't go well at all. But as a server, I didn't just serve the people I liked and say, oh, you know what? You people that I like, this isn't going very well. You're kind of on your own. Just go up to the kitchen and get your own food, right? No, as a server, my responsibility was to serve everyone, regardless of their personal feelings towards me. A more powerful and important example of this is the first responders in our culture. Police and firefighters and how they respond to emergencies. You see, if someone calls 911 very quickly on the other line, they will hear the dispatcher say, 911, what's your emergency? And very succinctly and clearly, the person will explain their emergency. And what the dispatcher does not say is, before I send the police and firefighters out to you, can you tell me a little bit about the person who's in trouble or who's hurt? Can you tell me about what they do for a living? Or can you tell me about what they look like? Or can you tell me how much they've given to charity in the past year? Okay, we'll send them out. I don't think so. I don't think they're good enough. No, they're first responders. They go, they respond. And when they get to the hospital, the doctors and the nurses, they don't even look at their wallet if it's serious enough. They just help them right away. Because their job is not to evaluate, to judge, to determine based on this person's past if they are worthy or unworthy. They realize that their job is to serve. Their job is to respond. As Christians, we are spiritual first responders. We are on the front lines of God's work in the world, and we are called not to judge. That's God's job. We are called to respond. I'm reminded of the words of our founding fathers when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. And they began by saying that we believe that all men are created equal. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they could have stopped there. They could have just said, all people are created equal, and that would have been enough, but they went on to explain why. They didn't say, we believe that all people are created equal because we believe it. They said, all people are created equal because we are endowed, meaning given, by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, meaning that all people are created equal and have rights, not because we say so, not because I say so, not because you say so, but because God says so. Because God has given them certain rights that people cannot take away. We want to divide people up as worthy or unworthy. We want to put distinctions on them, put them in classes, put them in categories, but God does no such thing. We are called to serve people, not because they deserve it. We are called to serve people, not because we think it's the right thing to do. We are called to serve and love one another because God thinks it's the right thing to do. Because God came down to earth in the form of Jesus Christ and served us first, even when we did not deserve it. So may you be aware and open to the needs of your neighbors, to the needs of your neighbors who live close by you and live across the world. May you not think that you have to solve every problem, but may you think and be aware of the opportunities God puts all around you to respond to the needs of your neighbor. May you lift up that idea that all people are created equal and are worthy of love and respect. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to remember this important parable, that in a world that often makes distinctions or divisions important, you call us to serve one another, to respond to each other, not because of what we think of one another, but simply because people are in need. In your Son's holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at @GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.